Hey, do you remember Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Hello. And what, did you shake your head no?
I don't.
Oh, fuck. What were we supposed to do?
Wait.
I don't. Oh, I do not remember.
I watched Mystic Pizza.
She puts all the fish in his car. Classic. Hello, and welcome to Hey, Do You Remember?, a show where we reminisce about a movie or TV series we grew up with, then take off the rose-tinted glasses to see how it holds up. I'm Chris.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carlos.
And today we're revisiting Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Wayne Szalinski is a brilliant inventor who's either on the verge of a major scientific breakthrough or a serious nervous breakdown. The electromagnetic shrinking ray he's been tinkering with doesn't actually shrink stuff so much as just blow it the fuck up. But the movie isn't called Wayne Szalinski Blows Up Apples, that would have been awesome, so you know where this is headed. His young son and teenage daughter, along with two other kids from the neighborhood, are accidentally scaled down to a quarter of an inch, swept up, and thrown in the garbage. They escape from the trash bag and discover that they have to traverse the now jungle-sized backyard in order to get back to the house, find some way to communicate with Wayne, and have him return them to their normal size. Meanwhile, as Wayne realizes what's happening, he has to figure out what to tell his wife, the police, and the parents of the other missing kids. And unfortunately, there's an even bigger problem. Even if Wayne manages to find them, how will he reverse the process when he doesn't even understand why it worked this time in the first place? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was released in the very crowded summer of 1989, but never underestimate the power of a Disney family movie. The film was an unexpected hit, earning upwards of $220 million worldwide against its $18 million budget. And not a single box office analyst made a joke about a tiny little movie expanding into something huge, is a lie I just told. The film's success paved the way for two sequels, both of which were released to diminishing returns. It also spawned a syndicated TV show, which ran for several seasons in the late 90s, and was just delightful. And by delightful, I mean a real bucket of fuck. So how well has the original film stood the test of time? We're about to find out, but first, Donna, what do you remember about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Well, I remember loving this movie.
Take a shot.
It's true. I did love it. Yeah. Wait, do you have shots? Oh, shit.
I have a little bit of whiskey, though.
Oh, good for you. I remember it particularly because, as I frequently said, I would watch these movies in the theater with my friends. We would go directly home and reenact, you know, the movie, what we had just seen. And this was a particularly challenging.
I was going to say, this is a hard one to reenact.
You really can't shrink yourself.
I'll just squish it together.
Yeah. I mean, I remember running around the yard and being like, it's really just not the same. You know? But it sure was fun, and I never got the French class joke, and...
Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Yeah,
I forgot that was, like, the big tag at the end of the movie. Off. Yeah,
yeah. Spoilers. I mean, yeah, it's sort of a silly little... Yeah. But, no, I definitely loved it. I saw it. I tried to play it, but it is super hard to shrink yourself. Mm. And I did... was super fortunate a few years later to be able to go to... MGM, where they have this crazy cool setup, like park.
Giant playground based on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
This,
yeah.
And it, what a cool thing. I mean, that was, when, by the time I went there, I was, you know, it was probably like 4, maybe 5 years after the movie had come out.
Yeah.
And I was fully aware that I was a little bit too old for it and was like, I do not care! Yep. It's awesome! Which at that age was tough to not care about that stuff, but I didn't. It was great fun. So I'd always loved it. I think I've seen Honey, I Blew Up the Baby more often.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, I'm same
I've
here.
Seen this.
Yeah,
because I think they put that one on TV a lot, and this one I feel like it didn't show up on TV, even though I really loved it. I don't think I've seen it for about 20 years.
Same here. Yeah.
So it was a really good rewatch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carlos, what about you?
Okay, so I was a Nickelodeon and Disney Channel kid. That's what I had. That's what I played at my house. And Comedy Central, because I loved stand-up comedy as, like, a 6 and 7 year old. It's very strange. Like, I, yeah, Dennis Leary, like, drinking and smoking.
He's speaking my language.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I get this guy, and he gets me.
The economy is fucked. Mom, bring me a juice box. The economy's fucked.
Bring me a juice box while it's still worth something. Before the Chinese take it. Anywho.
No more weekend update for Carlos.
So, but no, I watched Disney Channel all the time. They had, you know, the Mickey Mouse Club, and different cartoons in the afternoons and whatnot. But they, in between episodes, they're like, the making of blah, blah, blah movie. Mm. And this was the first movie that I was really in on the making of before it came out. Like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like, it's like, oh my god, that ant is the size of a horse! How do they do that? I don't understand these things, because I'm a child! But I totally get economic humor! I understand racial stereotypes! Anyway, so... But I was all in on the giant ant and the giant Lego, which I loved Legos as a kid. I was like, there's a giant Lego! What does it snap into? You can put all your Legos in this Lego! Yeah, and I loved the idea of, like, being so small that grass was, like, you know, ridiculous and mountainous. And so I was totally in on the making of that. I was totally aboard. And when I went to see the movie, I was cognizant of the fact that this was all fake and it didn't matter. Mm. Like, that was the first movie that didn't matter, that it wasn't real. Like you and Batman, I believe, was yours.
Mm. That's going to come up in like 10 seconds. Yeah, yeah.
Probably will. And yeah, so I remember that most vividly when we first said this is what we were going to watch. I was like, I remember being so excited for the making of this movie.
Mm.
And then what else do I remember just from watching it? I remembered the bit about, like, not wanting to step on the grass and, like going on the, on Rick Moranis on the fence. And I remembered all that and the swing thing that goes around. And I remembered the giant broom and the individual, like, strands being, like, huge, like telephone poles. And that's about it. I remembered there being a really sweet story with that ant. Like, they really loved that ant. And when I saw that this movie was 93 minutes, it's like, how are they gonna establish such a deep emotional connection to that ant after only 93 minutes? And turns out, they don't do that. Turns out, we're just supposed to buy it.
Oh, shit. I did. I'm all in with Auntie.
I remembered it just being this, like, I remember there being more than one scene with the ant. Like, yeah. They tame the ant, they ride the ant, and then...
There's a lot of
like,
that.
Get on, get! And they White Fang the ant right after that. It's like, you've only known him for 20 minutes. Like, yeah. You know. But anyways, that's in the future. That's what we're going to talk about soon. But that's what I remember about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and I also remember hating Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. Or blew up the kids. Just Honey, I Blew Up All the Kids. The Osama Bin Laden story. Timothy McVeigh, that makes more sense. Yeah. Too soon, it's been 20 years. Come on.
Walt Disney presents. Our stock plummeted. I don't understand. It's okay. Dennis Miller's got a great bit about it. I also...
Honey, I Blew Up the Kids, the Timothy McVeigh story. Oh, my God.
Oh, for fuck's sake, that's awful.
That is awful. I feel horrible, but it's a good joke. Okay.
I also did not like the sequel that much. But Donna, for some reason, that's also the one I've seen more. And I think in the last episode, I was talking about how I was always more into the most recent entry in a series. So I think that's probably what was going on there. So when I watched this, I was shocked how much of this I had forgotten. And I think that actually helped me quite a bit. Like, I was sort of into this because I didn't know exactly what was coming next. There was so much of this I'd forgotten. So what I do remember about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is that this came out on June 23rd, 1989, which is a day in history where nothing else significant happened except Batman came out.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing a story on the news about how Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was actually doing really well as, like, counter-programming to Batman. And because so many people were going to the theater and Batman was sold out, they go, okay, well, three tickets for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And so the movie was actually did very, very well at the box office.
Kind of the way the Adam Sandler movie just did really well against X-Men, except that it didn't do that at all.
Except that it actually,
it was supposed to be counter-programming for X-Men and made, like, 18.
Well, they do this a lot, though. I think when The Dark Knight came out, Mamma Mia also came out the same weekend. And it was
counter-programming,
like,
is a thing.
Yeah, sure. So... I saw Batman that weekend, but then, and as you guys might, as our listeners might remember, if they've been listening to the show long enough, Short Circuit 2 destroyed my life. Batman saved it. And so that was like a whole year. And like Batman was the movie that finally made me love movies again. And actually exactly like what you were saying about how not just, it wasn't just the suspension of disbelief anymore. It was being fully aware that it was a movie and people created this and that sort of being as amazing as, you know, just seeing a good movie, like just being aware of the fact that, that it wasn't real. Like that was, it actually, it became cool. And so Batman got me back on board with, with movies, with entertainment in general. And then the very next weekend, my dad takes me to see Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and I fall in love with Auntie.
Yeah.
They're...
Johnny 5-2.
Now, I understand there's no way my dad could have known.
It's really heavy for this movie. Makes,
but it's sort of like, what the fuck? Did we not just clear this bar and we're going to go straight back to... Come on.
Man.
There should have been a website. This is like, this predates the internet. There should have been an internet and a website. It's like, is your kid a giantpussy.com? And like, it's like, and then so you can just check. Like, on what level of pussy is your child? And my
dad would
get
.org status. Sure. You'd be a nonprofit.
It's like, can I take my kid to see this movie? Well, how big a pussy is he? He's a pretty big, fat, stinky pussy. And like, well, then you can't take him to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And also, are you the mother or the father? Well, I'm the father. Well, you failed. What are you doing?
Is the mother helping? Well, she's giving me New Kids on the Block, don't you? So, you've both failed.
We don't have a section for this. This is, And the part of the movie I remember being most enamored with was actually the giant oatmeal cookie, cream pie thing. Yeah. That to me was like the single best moment of wish fulfillment in the movie. But yeah, the thing that sticks out to me the most, when I think of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, I think of Auntie and the fact that he dies. And then what I didn't realize till this time, it was devastating. Like, they had to throw in the extra line before he dies where Nick goes, he's just a baby. Well, it's not even he hasn't even lived a life, you guys. God damn it. Auntie, you brave bastard. So, and I also remember that playground at MGM. That was a huge, huge thing. Same thing with that, too. I was just a little too old, but it was like never in my wildest dreams. And I think, didn't they have like a stationary Auntie, like, you could climb over and take pictures with? And
you lucky kids.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, we'll take you someday, Carlos.
Thank you.
I think it's gone now. I think they got rid of it.
Yeah. You both.
Well, there was also, do you remember when, I think it was Epcot, when Captain EO was gone for a while, they had Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah.
I never did that, but I heard about that. And
the last time I went to Disney World in Florida, that's Disney World, right? Mm-hmm. The last time I went, Universal Studios Florida opened the day after I left. That's how long ago it was, like 1988 or 89. That's how long ago it was.
Wow.
So, thanks, guys, about your great stories about...
You know what? It sucked. It was a pretty shitty playground.
Yeah, it was really sticky.
I got a blister.
It was sticky and...
I got some splinters.
Like, feels like Lisa telling Bart that Krusty the movie, or Itchy and Scratchy the movie, wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Really? No, it was amazing!
Did you guys ever see the third one?
I feel like I have.
Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
I never saw it because I saw the title. I was like, that's a joke.
It was straight to video.
Yeah, we went too far there.
It was only Rick Moranis. No one else came back. Mm. Yeah, that one seemed... Ugh. And the same year that came out was the year that the TV show came out. And what was kind of... So, and Peter Scolari played Wayne Szalinski in the TV show. And what was... So it's called Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the TV show. But I think there was maybe two episodes that involved the shrinking ray. It was about all his other inventions that would cause problems. And the only episode I can remember is where he becomes some sort of vigilante. Like, and I think he has like a bucket on his head. He becomes Buckethead, the heavy metal guitarist. Yeah. I think
sounds
that's
like
true. Just
Gizmo Duck is what it sounds like.
That's the only, yeah, but it almost seemed like, I understand you got to call it Honey, I Shrunk the Kids because that's what the name everybody knows. But it almost seems like an opportunity to like every episode's title. It's like Honey, I ... And then the episode is whatever is taking place.
Yeah. Honey, I put a bucket on my head.
Yeah.
It's a weird episode.
Mr. Szalinski's Fun Times. That's what I've called it.
Mr. Szalinski's Fun Times?
No one watches that show.
This one does.
Well, I like Fun Times. I like Mr. Szalinski. Let's see what happens.
I can just see like the average family. Like, we could watch 30-something or Mr. Szalinski's Fun Times. 30-something.
Mr. Szalinski's Fun Times.
Sounds like you.
Sounds like an Asian game show.
Mr. Szalinski's top 10, number 1, A-OK, Fun Times, Happy Go-Go Now.
You want to see that?
Question mark? okay, so that's, yeah, I actually don't remember, I didn't remember a whole lot else going into this. So with all that said, we just looked at it with fresh eyes. So let's see how Honey, I Shrunk the Kids holds up. Animated credits!
Yes! Animated credits! We're bringing animated credits!
Who the fuck are these kids, though?
They do not. That's not who's.
And I was writing in my notes. Oh, I see. They must have started animating this before they'd finished casting or started making the movie. But it's like, no, because the names are animated. Yeah. Like, all the names of the people are animated. So they're not even, like, the right ages. Mm. It's, they don't look like the kids in the movie. They're not the same age as the kids in the movie. Speaking of the animated credits, though... The twitching fly carcass was a little dark. And they slam it, and then it comes up, and it's just all the eyes and the
that is
shit.
Weird,
yeah. My dad must have known right then. Oh boy, this might go south.
You're in for it now.
My stinky pussy's on my mouth.
That's what he called you. It's SPS.
That's why my nickname was Douche.
Yeah, that's not why.
Oh, so... what I like about the opening credits with these kids that are running around and they've been shrunk is that it's not things that happen in the movie for the most part.
Awesome.
So it doesn't give anything away. It's just more of like... Yeah, just more
shenanigans.
This
is just a story about two other kids who happen to...
This is an alternate...
Just happened to. Yeah.
So it's like the curse of the mannequin. Like, this happens every 1,000 years.
Mm. But yeah, so... Well, the one thing I do wish they'd maybe foreshadowed a little bit was it would have been nice knowing, like, maybe I shouldn't get too attached to this aunt. and then I did not realize this was directed by Joe Johnston. I've never realized that. And this was his first movie. This was his directorial debut. He'd been, like, in the art department for the Star Wars movies. He helped design the look of Boba Fett. He went on to do The Rocketeer, which is Carlos's favorite movie.
Yeah,
it is. Captain America, First Avenger, Hidalgo, Jurassic Park 3.
Did he do anything between Rocketeer and Captain America?
He's done a lot. Years. No, he's done a lot. And most of his movies, feel like are... My impression of him has always been, at his best... He makes good movies that are almost great, but like The Rocketeer to me is such a solid movie, but it could so easily have been a great movie, and it's just not. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how I felt about him. So I was really surprised that this was a Joe Johnston movie.
I was hoping we could just make up movies that he did, like Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey,
Striptease.
He did do Striptease, which
that's
was
true, yeah.
Was a departure. 12 Angry Men.
The original?
Yeah.
The original.
The Sound of Music, I think, was a Joe Johnston movie.
Yeah.
Good, but not great. Yeah.
It's one of her favorites. I cannot sit through it.
The sound
it
music?
Is really good, actually. I really like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it weren't 12 hours long.
It is 12 hours
if
long.
If it also wasn't about kids trying to hide from Nazis, yet singing all the live long day. Oh, here it is.
I wish the listeners could see her face.
The
it's
world good. Can never know Edelweiss face.
It's super attractive. Just know that world.
I'm turned on.
Most people are. Yeah.
I'm just going to sit back and let this happen. Whatever's happening here, I'm just letting it go. It's the part where I usually try to rein it in and get back on track, but...
Clean and bright.
So we meet the kids and the dog.
Quark.
I like when we see Nick. He's got his own miniature version of the shrinking ray that he's working. Oh, miniature version of the shrinking
Huge.
Ray.
And he like little smart boy
zaps the dog or just turns the machine on and he goes like, and the dog goes running. He's like, it works. It really works. So Nick's either blind or retarded.
And he's a savant. He can build things, but he has no concept of what is the object permanence. Something's gone, it's gone.
There's Nick, there's his older sister Amy, and we're already getting that they're kind of like fending for themselves because dad's busy up in his laboratory in the attic, and there's like some insinuation that the parents have been arguing. Mom's not around just at this moment.
Mom slept over grandma's.
Right. That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a marriage on the rocks. It's right. Not just like... fighting.
That I was watching that again felt a little weird because I never really remembered them having any trouble.
And it's over so quickly. Yeah. Like she comes back and they're now they're not super at odds.
No.
Which I guess is maybe a good like real life marriage thing. I don't know. You tell me you're married, but like sometimes you're mad and then you're like, okay, it's okay. We said that and it's over and like we're fine.
That being said, that their whatever they were fighting about is not resolved. And
no.
And.
Unless it was the shrinking ray, which he does then get to work, so...
Yeah, I doubt that that's what they were fighting about.
I thought... my impression was whatever his shortcomings were as, like, a father, a husband, da-da-da, were related to the fact that he was paying too much attention to his work.
Yeah. But you even know, the just fact... But then thing. The fact that it works should not absolve him of the fact that he wasn't paying
attention. Oh, totally. Yeah, that's a good point.
But, he... So...
He does not learn to be a better father. That's true. I mean, no. He does... The neighbor's dad learns more about...
Right.
Yeah.
There's more that goes on there, right. But...
And just skipping ahead just a bit, to the end.
just a bit.
When, to the very next, end. So this movie takes place over the course of 2 days. Right? Mm-hmm. Really over the course of probably about 24 hours.
Yeah.
The next morning, she wakes up and sees, the mother wakes up and sees... Rick Moranis, like, lying there, like, falling asleep, having worked on the machine. And she just says, I love you, Wayne.
That was weird, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, I don't understand the motivation for that line whatsoever.
It does feel like maybe there's a few things that got cut.
Unless she was about to stab him to death, which would have been kind of, would have been a turn, first of all. Would have been what I would call unearned. But it makes more sense than, oh, he was working on the machine like he said he was going to do and like we absolutely must do. I love you, husband I'm fighting with about this machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like your reaction, if your children were missing an ANSI, wouldn't be like, oh, I love you, honey. It would be like, get up! It's time to look for them again
in
right
general,
now.
I think all of the parents were a little too blasé about the missing kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially once all four of them are on the same page about what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Mrs. Zielinski should not have been like, I love you, Wayne Zielinski. She should have said, are you serious? You're sleeping?
Wake up!
Wake
up!
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious right now?
Exactly she makes a lot of bad decisions. The part where she gets frustrated when they're searching the yard and she just cuts the line and they both drop.
It's you're
like,
not understanding.
Bitch, what are you doing?
You're killing
them. Do you understand
them.
Why we're on this thing right now?
Oh my God.
Okay, but anyways, the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so what I like though about... So even though I do think this is maybe one of the flaws in the movie is that I would like more explanation about what's going on in their marriage and more of like some sort of evolution to all of that. But I also appreciate that the stuff that's set up in the first couple of minutes and you think you know like, oh, I see where this is going. It doesn't totally work that way. And one of the things sort of tied into that, is I really liked the way They established his attic and the fact that he's an inventor. And it's not over the top quirky, like the way Pee-wee's house is a Rube Goldberg thing. And I think even Ernest's house is like the same way. This is just the sort of thing where, like, you know, the clock on the wall works a little differently, or like different appliances, you know, but it's not over the top, where to do anything in the house, you got to flip this switch, which then triggers this, and then da 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 da, and nothing quite works. They didn't go that route.
I think, I don't know. I thought that some of that was very, like, the dog has to get his biscuit by.
But what I'm saying is, it like, but that stuff, like, it works.
Yes, it does work.
And it's not overly. Pee-wee's house works too. Yeah, but it's not overly elaborate like Pee-wee's house. It's not like, sure. It doesn't go overboard with the quirkiness. It feels just cartoonish enough of like, this is what it's like living with a crazy inventor. Like, yeah. We did make upgrades to.
He just gets bored. And like, some of those things, they seem so natural. Like, oh, well, I'm kind of bored. I don't really have a project right now. Oh, check it out. There's the dog. Oh, hey, I wonder if I made like a doggy dispenser for like, you get some time on your hands and like, okay, make this invention. Yeah. Like,
I'm going to say there was
like the coffee maker that I didn't understand. I
was like, coffee maker was hella weird.
Yeah. It's like, you're just making coffee.
I don't even remember that.
It's just like two tubes that go into a coffee maker.
Oh,
it's like, what is that doing?
Like, I'm going to say there is not a dog on this planet disciplined enough for that machine. It would just eat until it fucking shit and died. I mean, that's it. It would just eat itself to death.
I thought that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So,
of course, so mature.
Yes.
Really.
Mm-hmm. We meet the neighbors, the lawnmower man, and Buffy's mom. Matt Frewer, Christine Sunderland are the actor and actress. But yeah, that's it. I most know him from Lawnmower Man 2. Which is unfortunate because he's been in much better things. And I had never realized that that's Buffy's mom from the TV show playing, playing his wife. I really liked them a lot. Their youngest son is named Ron. And he's also it's the same actor that was Tom Hanks's friend in Big. In my mind, these movies are separated by a much larger span of time, right. But it's like the next year.
Yeah.
And then he's also got.
He's also like three shades of hair lighter, if not more.
He's a redhead and big.
Yeah, he's like a bleach blonde.
Yeah. Well, and then I know this is like still a couple scenes ahead, but as long as we're talking about the neighbor's family, then there's the other son, Russell. It's like little Russ and big Russ, I think, is how that works.
Okay.
Let me just.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think I feel pretty good about who would you be and who would you F.
Yeah, I cannot hide this one. This was like a big like when I saw little Russ Thompson, I was like, I've just discovered a part of myself. I mean, he is.
She means her vagina.
No, I know. No, yeah. I mean, my heart, a part of my heart.
She means her heart.
Inside of my heart. Wow. Am I right? Ladies.
Yeah. Are we waiting for a response? Can I tell you, when I was a kid,
for 36 hours, so, Donna waited for a response.
It's the longest episode. When I was a kid, I had a problem in movies with where if I had some sort of, if I had feelings for, and maybe you did the reverse, when I had feelings for like a girl in a movie, and I did have a pretty major crush on Amy from this, but not till later in the film. There's a certain scene that really made me discover something about myself. A penis, a hard penis.
And I was a heart penis.
A heart penis.
Heart. The, yeah.
My heart erection. Oh. I was like, yeah, Dad, does this look like a stinky pussy?
Yeah, no.
What do you think of this, Dad?
Oh,
Lorraine, your son's masturbating angrily all over me.
Again.
You took him to Short Circuit, too. You deserve this. That's getting cut.
No, it's not.
I wonder if when we say that, and like if listeners are like, oh, I'm hearing something I'm not supposed to know. I don't know why they're a soccer mom. Karen!
I guarantee you they are not soccer moms.
Karen! I want a dish about something I heard on the podcast. I'll tell you at the game. No, you bring the orange slices, I'll bring the Gatorade. What am I doing?
So wait, what?
Karen.
When you like, see someone in a movie.
Oh,
yeah,
so.
It's an original tangent.
So, this is not the whiskey talking. It's so hot, I sweat it out already. The, let that image sink in, listeners. So when I would see a girl I liked in a movie, I would really hate the love in, like, whoever the love interest was.
Oh,
so
yeah.
In this movie, I was like, this goony motherfucker, like, get away from me, Chief.
Really?
So was the reverse ever true, where you were sort of like, oh, Amy, you bitch?
No, I would always just then, like, imagine I was the love interest then.
See,
like,
I should have, I wish I'd had the wherewithal to.
Newsies, I'd be like, oh my god, he totally has a crush on that girl, I could be Dave's sister, oh my god, I'm Dave's sister, it's me. But
I was Kevin Arnold on several occasions.
Oh, yeah.
When I discovered parts of myself. My shoulders.
Your ears?
Mostly my shoulders. Oh, hey. I have broad shoulders.
Kevin Arnold does not have broad shoulders, by the way.
He does not. But he can move his ears and I can move my ears.
Oh, that's
good. He does that a lot.
There you go. Yeah. That's good.
There's an episode of The Wonder Years where Kevin is feeling sick, and I don't remember the rest of the plot of that episode, but he's feeling not well and he's home from school. And I think he's been flirting with two girls, and one of them is Winnie Cooper, and one of them is another girl.
Ooh.
And Winnie gets pissed and comes over and is, like, bouncing on his bed to make him feel worse.
Nope.
Didn't make me feel worse. This is awesome. This is great.
Oh,
I love how uninformed you are.
Oh, no, don't keep doing that. It's going to be the worst. You're punishing me. No. Also, and this is also something. Actually, this is a movie I saw on the Disney Channel, because back in the day, the Disney Channel had like a nighttime lineup where they actually ran like concert series. That's the first time I ever saw Eric Clapton was on the Disney Channel. He did like a concert on whatever Disney Channel Live or whatever. But they ran movies in the middle of the night. And I used to, like, I'm sure I've said this, I used to sleep in the living room when I was a kid because I did not like sleeping in my bedroom. So I watched TV all night long, which is why I wasn't that good at school. But I saw 9 to 5 at like a very young age for watching 9 to 5, maybe like.
Oh, that song's going to be stuck in my head all
night.
I'm
sorry,
now.
But it's a classic.
Karen!
Girl.
Just keep not missing Edelweiss. It'll be fine. But I was like, yeah, maybe like 9 when I saw 9 to 5. And I'm sorry, beautiful, big-breasted woman tying up Dabney Coleman. It's like, oh, no.
This is informed. Like, now.
It's like, oh, no, please don't bondage him.
Bondage,
yeah. Yeah, that was a verb. Uh-huh. Bondage.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay, so with Dad, we see Dad and Nick up in the attic.
Can I just say real quick? I didn't mention it, things I remembered, but I did remember being really impressed, and still to this day impressed, with that shrinking machine.
Oh,
it's like
it looks
a really
great.
Impressive set piece.
Really
cool.
Yeah,
it's really good. Really,
really
good
well
prop.
Designed. Yeah.
I thought, and I mean, like, even though, you know, the compositing shots don't always look great, in general, I still thought the way that was animated was very cool. Mm-hmm. And just the whole, like, just the way it functions, the way it rises up as it's getting ready and then cools back down, and the whole thing with the baseball being there to diffuse the laser was so, I thought that was all really smart.
Like, if I saw that in a store, like, if I saw, like, a figurine of that, it would be like seeing a figurine of, like, the time machine from, you know, Back to the Future or something. I'd be like, oh, that's the shrink ray from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Like, I would just know what that was, yeah.
I have to say, at some point, and I think it's going to be right now, that when I saw this movie as a child and they are explaining the shrink ray, I mean, and I will buy in. Guys, you know that. If you're going to tell me a story, I'm going to buy right in. Unless it's about your wieners, in which case I'm probably going to tune out a little bit and try to think about something nice. Anyway.
Something nice.
No offense.
Really? I don't see how that's...
Man.
Anyway, I bought so into this shrink ray that it was like, for years, it was like, well, obviously, that's how... This is completely and utterly a thing. And how could it not happen? How could that not be the case, like, in the world? Like, yeah. I thought it was so well explained as a child. I was like, oh, well.
The science
clearly,
is sound. I mean,
I don't understand science, but I understand that. And that is the way it works.
Well, I mean, actually, what Wayne Szalinski says about, like, you know, there being, you know, most of us are, all atoms are really just empty space. It's like, that's totally true. And if you could compress it, you know, and still manage to keep the molecular structure intact, you would be able to shrink things because we are all basically just empty space. It makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I mean, obviously the science of bringing it down without killing anything would not make sense. Wow. But
so two things about the way the shrink ray works that I think are sort of strange. So the end of this movie completely negates the plot of the second movie because the entire second movie is based on him trying to figure out a way to reverse this process, to make things larger. Mm-hmm. And he can't get the machine to do that, except it does it perfectly in this movie.
Twice.
And it's not just restoring things to their normal size. The last shot is the giant turkey and the giant dog bone.
That's true.
The machine already does this perfectly.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing is, like, this isn't a criticism. It's just, like, lamenting the fact that we never see a sequel that's about what happens when this is approved and he gets a patent on it and this technology is like out in the world. Like I thought there's some interesting ideas there. Like when he's at this conference talking about it would completely revolutionize the way, like just in terms of like shipping things overseas, what you could put on a cargo ship when everything is.
That blew my mind. Watching it as an adult, I was like, this is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
You would save millions.
It would have been cool. Like even if it wasn't the focus of, you know, a third movie, just to have it being like we're in a world where this has been, I think that'd be cool.
Like I, as one person, could do the work of an entire gigantic barge. I could just get on a plane.
Right, exactly.
With a handful of custom TVs and recliners.
Sex slaves.
And take them to China. Sex. Wait, what?
You've seen The Wire season 2. They put sex slaves on them barges.
I suppose they do. So
Wire was a documentary.
Yeah. That's what happened.
That's true. Well, put him in a Ziploc bag.
But speaking of the shrink ray, so when Nick goes up to the attic to talk to his dad, this is where we see that the shrink ray doesn't totally work. He's trying to shrink the apple and it just blows up instead.
Applesauce. When,
yeah, he makes applesauce. When before the just before the apple blows up, and it's just the ray on the apple, Wayne is going, this is the only time a guy has ever said the words, come on, shrink, shrink.
Did you never have to give like a speech in front of the class in like 6th, 7th grade?
Shrink.
Oh, I'd just be like, and that's my erection.
I'm Chris Schrader, and this is my erection. And here's my radio program, Nick Tracy. Erection, take it away!
That's what you guys don't know about the Dick Tracy recording. It was my downstairs mouth.
Your downstairs mouth is a very gifted vocal artist. Voice actor.
Oh, sometimes you get sick and throws that.
Oh, no. He means... Baby juice.
I was going to tell my mom to listen to this episode. Not anymore. I'm going to tell her we disbanded.
Donna's, I don't
know. Podcast is no more.
Nope. It's not
I don't. I know we've talked about this amongst ourselves. I don't know if we've ever said this in one of the episodes, that Donna's aunt has my favorite review of the show ever.
Yeah, Marty.
Which is just like, I listen to your podcast, and then just like the chin to the chest and like the disapproving stare. Just mm-hmm.
The good long stare for several minutes.
That's my favorite review we've ever gotten.
Okay, you don't have to keep listening to it.
My favorite in person review is, oh hey, I listened to your podcast. Oh, which one did you listen to? I don't know. Okay, great.
Thanks for tuning in.
Oh god,
I guess. You mean you found the podcast and then you did nothing with it?
No.
You're like, hey, that exists.
Oh, it's there on the internet.
I'll get credit for this. Just lie.
Did you look at any of the pictures? Just look at a picture and say you did that one.
They didn't do that. That's too much.
I mean, it's, you know. It's okay.
So mom calls. She's going to be coming home. So clean the house before she gets back. I like that. So then the next thing we see is Nick talking the other kid from the neighborhood into mowing the lawn for him. Mm-hmm. And this was the first scene that really impressed me. It was like, Nick taking advantage of the older, cooler kid is like a fun reversal on what you'd usually see. Like, he's not getting bullied. He's like totally aware and so confident about being smart and different and like owning it. Mm. I really, really liked that.
Do you guys recognize the kid?
He's from Edward Scissorhands. I know that.
Okay.
Is he in Sandlot too? Is he?
I don't know that he's in Sandlot.
He's in, I think he's in.
I know what I know him from. When I saw him, I was like, oh man, where have I seen that kid?
Honey, I blew up the kid.
I blew up the kids.
Honey, Timothy McVeigh. He plays Timothy McVeigh.
Yes, oh, no, a young. He plays young Tim, the good
right. That's
sure. Right. No, he is. Have you guys? You guys have seen Teen Wolf?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the scene? So Michael J. Fox's dad owns a hardware store, and when his like Teen Wolfy symptoms are coming in, he gets the super hearing because a little boy is blowing on the dog whistle.
Oh.
He's the one who blows on the dog whistle. It's like, okay. I know this kid from being a brat. And it's the dog. He plays Whistle Boy in Teen Wolf.
I have a comment about this scene. Because Nick says he teaches him how, and he's very confident, he's very cool, and he's teaches this kid how to remote control mow the lawn, which is, why wouldn't we just be doing that all the time? All the time. Yeah. What a great idea.
Why isn't that not a thing?
I think you can get a Roomba for your lawn now.
Can you?
Really?
Roomba?
I was just about to say, like, Roomba should be on this.
I think they are. I think they are. But what do you... I don't know. Anyway, but afterwards he says, like, oh, nothing like a hard day's work. And I was like, God damn it, 80s kids. Fuck you. Work hard. That irritated me so much because I know I saw that and was like, yep, that's what working hard is.
You don't know what's coming.
No, you little shits.
I can tell you from my vast knowledge of economy humor that it wasn't the kids' fault.
No.
This is what we were led to believe.
But certainly we were all part of it. You know, it's not, I'm not saying that he caused it, but I was like, God damn it. I know. And I know I thought that was so clever, and I know I must have said it 20 times around the house, being like, ah, move to that pillow, oh, hard day's work. Like,
well, that this is, I mean, this is like the epitome of the 80s, is the idea that, like, most amount of money for least amount of work. Like, that's what, that's, that's what success was.
The comedians were all over this, guys. Yeah. They were all over.
You
this
were game. Tuned in on that.
Yeah, I
did
was.
Not watch a lot of comedy, stand-up comedy, when I was seven. You're unfortunately, it is. Yeah, I watched The Golden Girls.
She was too busy watching Wayne Szalinski's Happy Fun Time.
Yeah,
go-go
with
hour.
Dorothy Zbornik.
And then we see little Russ, watching Amy through the window. I like that he did, like, his idea of being discreet is just like, I'll just hide behind this TV I'm holding. Like, she won't see me.
Did you guys remember that little Russ is little?
I had no idea he was that tiny.
I didn't remember that even being his story arc.
Yeah, no.
I thought he was the cool kid, and I could have sworn, if you would have asked me what the dynamic was, I would have said she wasn't cool enough for him, he was popular kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But it turns out to be exactly the opposite of that. Even though he doesn't look like a nerdy kid, he's got, I mean,
he's
just
smoldering.
Majestic.
He is smoldering.
Farrah Fawcett-esque hair going on.
He's in, do you guys remember Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael? It was an 80s movie.
Oh,
he's in that, and his hair is a little longer and blonde, and it's like straight up Farrah Fawcett, I think. But yeah, no, I think we were talking right before Donna got here about the first scene where him and Matt Frewer, who plays Big Russ, were standing next to each other. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, I was like, is this dude 7'5"? I don't understand. But then you find out, no, the kid's like 5'2".
One's super tall and the other's super short.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, and then there's, okay, and then right after that is the scene where Big Russ is trying to get him to work out with the weights. And, like, I really think Matt Frewer is, like, a really, really good physical comedian. I thought he was great in this.
He's great.
And
does
I think...
does he not remind you of Jim Carrey?
Totally. The same... The fact that he predates, like, he was doing Jim Carrey shtick and he just didn't become a gazillionaire.
Well, Jim Carrey
kind of
took it up to 11.
Oh, sure, yeah. But better. Well, and that's one of the things I was going to say.
A little bit better at it. Yeah.
The, one of the things I like about the movie is that, so, in terms of his shtick, like that, like the physical comedy, that's the weight scene is sort of the height of it. Like, what I really liked about him and what I really liked about Rick Moranis is Rick Moranis doesn't go overboard with the zany, quirky, because I feel like the temptation with that role for a comedy actor would have been to go bigger with it. Mm. And same thing with the neighbor, the dad.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of like, everybody's sort of at the same level. Like it's remarkably restrained, especially when even in something like the Ghostbusters movies where it totally fits, Rick Moranis in those movies is much like bigger than he is here. Mm-hmm. And it's in the moments where he's like sort of like scaling back that it's actually really, really funny. Like the part where she's like, you know, he's like, you got the shrink ray to work. That's amazing. Do the kids know? And he's like, yeah, the kids know. Like, if there's no like, it's not goofy. Like, he plays it very real, right? I think like, and actually, I read just before we started recording, I was reading that the role was written for Chevy Chase, but that he was making the second Vacation movie. But actually, I don't hate that idea. I can see, like, because I think tonally,
I can see that.
It's actually very similar. That Clark Griswold is very similar to how Moranis is playing Wayne Szalinski here. Mm-hmm. And then I guess they went to John Candy.
Let's see. I was like, Rick Moranis was the next guy.
No, John Chevy Candy Chase. Was the next guy. And then John Candy recommended Rick Moranis.
John Candy, SCTV, right? Like, they were SCTV guys. Mm-hmm. So I thought of John Candy while watching this in the scene where the swing gets wound up, like the harness that he's on, gets the dog is like running the and winding him up. It reminded me that I was like, that's John Candy humor. What is the name of the movie? Harry Crumb.
Yeah,
where he's on a ceiling fan in a restaurant and he's just going and the kid is like making it go faster and faster. He's just swinging around. I was like, this reminds me of that scene. So I wonder if that was originally like, oh, we can throw that in. We know he likes those kind of scenes.
It was about right at this point in the movie where I wrote, like, I love the dynamic of all of these characters. I think they're so interesting and so well done. And none of them, although they're all almost a cartoon, they're all almost a caricature of what they could be, they're not. And they're so true. And they have these really genuine conflicts that you know you've had with people just like that.
I think it's great that you kind of, and at first, and even the part where they're sort of characters doesn't bother me so much because it's a Disney kids movie.
Yeah.
It's sort of just like par for the course.
It really works.
But like, and speaking of just like Big Russ and Little Russ, like, neither of them is an asshole. Like, you don't go like, God, I wish the dad would leave him alone. And you don't think, God, that kid's a real punk. It's like, you're really like, both sides of that make perfect sense. Yeah. I love the scene where he sits down and to himself says, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. It was just a nice moment.
The only characters in this movie that I thought were just kind of caricatures, caricatures would be the best word, are the other couple who is going fishing.
Why is that scene in the movie? That does not need to be there. The movie the movie does not change without them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vicky, what's her name?
Oh, from Twin Peaks.
She's hilarious. I love her.
I mean, they're both fine. It's just that scene does not need to be in there. It doesn't raise the stakes.
And not Jason Alexander.
Yeah. It doesn't give us any new information. They don't, it's not like they see that Wayne's up to something and starts snooping around.
The only thing it establishes is that he's mad about the $80
deposit. But they could have found another way to include that.
He could have said that the whole movie.
Yeah.
And also, your kids are missing.
Right.
$80?
That scene did not.
It's the 80s. Everyone has $80. They snort coke with $80.
Just for an appetizer.
Yeah.
And then we get the perfect storm of events that activate the machine, the baseball through the window, and da 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 da. And while that's going on, like, the first, I think Nick and who gets, oh, the two little, the boys get shrunk first. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Wayne at the conference where people are walking out. I did think that was a great line though, about like, I'll give you one thing. You managed to shrink the size of this audience. Yeah. That was a good line.
Boom.
Boom. They needed another guy who just said that.
Yeah. Know, right? But then, so the big thing is like, yeah, you've got great ideas, but what you're missing here is proof. And so that's back to the frustration of not getting the machine to work.
He also has a point. Like, they didn't ask Einstein to prove the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
You know, show your work.
Well, he's no Einstein.
Yeah, I mean, we've been through this, I guess.
Just pick a name.
Those are lines from the movie. That's what we're doing.
That's what that is.
These are the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids players.
French class.
So then Russ and Amy are shrunk too. And then so what I was jotting down here in my notes is like, already, right away, Just great combination of practical effects being used, like the oversized props and on the soundstage, the composite work. It's just, it's really, really seamless. This is also, it was surprising to me that, so we're about 30 minutes into the movie here. Rick Moranis is barely in the first 30 minutes. Yeah. That's like two scenes and just a couple minutes long, if that. And then, oh, and then I was thinking of Harry and the Hendersons because we were talking about why we didn't like the daughter in that movie. And what was missing was there was nothing about Harry's arrival that impacted her life in any way. Like she was just shitty because she was shitty.
Yeah.
And here we got exactly what we were talking about with her, which is she needs to be at the mall in 6 hours because that guy's going to ask her to the dance.
Yeah.
And so like that's, there's that added bit of urgency because of all of that.
And she's kind of a shit, but she's not that much of a shit. Like she's
I didn't dislike her because I understood
a popular teenager, but she does seem to have some grounding in her family, and she's, you know.
Well, and I liked it because Wayne is not super attentive to them. Like the kids have already sort of been forced to fend for themselves, which makes sense considering what they're about to go through.
Yeah.
And so, so I think I liked her because of that. Like she was not her character wasn't just the girl that needed to get asked out. Like that we learned that about her much later.
Also, is the girl who ends up having to make breakfast and look out for her little brother and
clean
up around the house while
and who dances to herself with the mop in a really.
I mean, who hasn't?
I remember this part because I loved her dancing with the mop, and I went home and wanted to dance with my mop, but we had one of those mops with a sponge on top,
So you weren't dancing with like a long-haired guy, you were dancing with like Kid from
I
Kid
was
and
like,
Play. Okay.
This is a very fun house party, Kid.
See, we were watching it, and my wife, actually my 3-year-old, she loved it.
Nice.
Yeah, she loved it.
That's awesome.
And myself, and my wife was like, so she's just gonna mop and she's not gonna clean off the counters first? That doesn't make any sense. I was like, that's what I was thinking. You're gonna clean up the kitchen. You mop the floor last because you're not gonna be able to walk in there while the floor is wet. But the place was a mess. Like, If the DCFS came in, they would take those kids away from living in squalor.
Yeah.
And also probably tons of, like, electrical fire hazards. There are just wires all about.
And the fact that he shrunk his kids.
Yeah. He's probably using technology that is not licensed.
Yeah, can't do that.
The other kids who did not know about the shrinking ray prior to 5 seconds beforehand are taking it pretty well. There's not a lot of what?
They keep the dynamic even when they shrink, because Russ is already nervous around Amy. She's nervous around him. They're just, whatever they do and don't feel about each other, they're just nervous teenagers to be around each other. And they stay that, even though they have this huge life-changing, tiny event that makes them tiny.
Huge, tiny event. That's exactly what it is.
That they are still, as soon as they're shrunk, it's not like, oh, we've been shrunk. It's like, oh, what are you doing here?
I still have pubes because I still have pubes.
It's weird. I don't know. They're still
the only thing that doesn't shrink.
And then they died. Except for the youngest brother, who had not gone through that yet.
What? You guys?
He just pretends to die. Me too.
But how about the pickup line?
That's a dust bunny.
How about the icebreaker? So you like to dance? What? Things you don't say to a girl. So you like to dance? Were you watching me? No.
I mean,
no. You don't say I mean, because the only other response is yes. You've already messed this up. You're already basically Buffalo Bill.
Oh, my gosh. So when Wayne comes storming back in, the conference was a disaster, he starts destroying the machine. I'd forgotten about this part.
Oh, man, and you're like, no!
Yeah, exactly. And the kids are like, no. And then when they have to run because the pieces are coming down, it's just so well done.
It's scary.
Yeah. And then I was thinking from the kids' point of view, like as actors, this must have been a blast to make.
Oh, my God, it must have been.
Because every day it's just another giant playground. Slide down this leaf, jump onto this giant broom, and now we're going to throw you off this thing.
Unless Joe Johnston's a prick. Unless he's like a total like slave driver. Then it's like, oh. I thought this was going to be fun.
I just imagine this was so much. It's damn pretty much fun
like the lawn from this and like the factory in the original Willy Wonka are like two like the biggest like childhood like fantasy I want to go to their places.
Yeah.
This as an adult, I remembered the movie being a little like brighter, like more vibrant. Like I was kind of surprised by how dingy it is, like the entire time. Yeah. The house and the backyard, it's dirty. As a kid though, I bet I loved it. I bet I loved that it was dirty.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Cause it's not, I mean, like, again, like the wish fulfillment part of it is, it's not, there's not a ton of that. It's mostly just like, this is a terrible thing. You're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
This is a great big ugly world now.
But, I think if it would have looked brighter, it would have looked faker.
Yeah, that's true.
It looked like their dingy house.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then he sweeps them up, puts them in the trash. They bust out of the trash bag and see that they're now... They have to go through the entire backyard to get back to the house so he can make them normal-sized again. And I love this because it's like, it's so straightforward. It's, to me, this is pretty much for a kid's movie. This is a perfect first act, perfect first 30 minutes. Everything is set up just enough. The character dynamics are clear. They're good. They're like, it has already, circumvented a few cliches. Like I was on board with all that. Motivations are clear. The goal is clear. There's even a ticking clock because of Amy having to get to the mall. I thought this was surprisingly efficient and effective storytelling. So really, really like the first 30 minutes a lot.
I was delighted as well.
Yeah.
I knew right away. I was like, surprised. Shit, this is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good one.
I was like, man, I didn't think it was going to really hold.
I thought it was
well.
Going to be like, oh, it's fun. I had some nice, it brought back some memories, but the story. Yeah, I was really surprised. It was pretty solid. Yeah.
We're about to hit two things though that like, kind of like the math, where the math messes things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When they're like, we're a quarter of an inch tall and the yard is approximately blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be for us the equivalent of 3.2 miles. Like, so you knock that out in about what? Maybe an hour and a half?
Right, yeah.
Maybe but before nightfall.
I'm pretty sure though later on, Rick Moranis has different math about the backyard. And his numbers are significantly. Like, at one point, I'm remembering him telling the wife, you know, at their size, it's actually, and whatever the math he does is, it's way, okay. way more than, but it's, but they never make it clear that, like, Nick, it's, you said 3 miles, it's almost nighttime, what's going on? Like, there's never an acknowledgement of it.
Well, they do get a little sidetracked with the bee.
That's true.
They get all these, like,
they get separated. Yeah,
the bee takes them closer.
Well,
they never get farther. Right. They're never like in the alley.
I was
they're
waiting for that. I was waiting for like I thought the bee thing maybe was gonna. That was gonna be a moment where like you're making progress and then it's like at Candyland. Yeah. Like nope, back to the first square. Yeah. Fuck you.
The other bit of math is when they're all talking about the foods they wish they could eat.
Mm.
Like I just want a strawberry sundae, a banana split, or whatever. It's like, dude, you've been shrunk for like half an hour. Like,
kids are always hungry.
I really liked
the corn dog line though. Like,
yeah,
I
could the corn dog would be the size of a truck. Yes, okay. Actually, it'd be the size of like a large like skyscraper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but neither here nor there. You've just eaten, and it's not like you've been out for days. Like, it's not like. That was their probably
adventures
just to serve
give me
the
an
game.
Appetite. Right? I mean, if I'm zooming around on a bee. Oh, that's true. Well, but it's
guys,
all relative. You guys.
Karen.
Karen. My husband's banging his secretary. I want to explore some feelings with you. What the hell's happening?
What?
I gotta go.
What feelings?
I gotta go. I'll leave.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. Okay. Okay, so we get the part where Nick falls in the flower. I like how she has to remind him, you're allergic to pollen. I was like, I think he fucking...
I also like
that's
that
for
would,
our benefit.
It's not going to kill him.
Yeah, well...
even that much pollen little. Would not kill him.
But then so, swarm of bees descends. That bee is fucking creepy.
It's
like, as it comes
scary.
Down and starts like...
Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Like, that's... It diddles him. Did you guys remember that? Yeah.
They go, real stinks.
Karen.
Real stinks.
Real stakes.
Real stakes.
So he did. I love soccer mom Karen just became a so character sorry, on our show. Okay, so
she's real hot. Karen is a looker.
The bee just molested him. I swear to God, it was crazy.
I'm so
got me all hot and bothered.
What I did was I called my husband's secretary and I figured, well, let's just, you know.
We'll share her.
Just keep it in the family.
Yeah. Run a sex train on her.
Oh, Karen.
Pass the Gatorade.
No, Karen.
Good job, Jeff. Because the soccer game's going on in the background. You're doing so good, honey.
Kick the ball, honey.
Okay, back to bee rape. So bee takes off with Nick. Russ jumps on to try and save him.
So brave. Oh.
I remember being at MGM and there was another part where they took you like
they
this
stung
is
stung you with bees.
They raped you.
Yeah. And then they stung me with bees.
That's what it feels like. When a
they
bee
stung
takes
you. They paralyzed you. They raped you. I'm allergic to pollen.
I'm
allergic
to
dick.
Oh my god! I just picture like a really cold German guy just stinging kids with bees.
Hey guys, we have no listeners anymore. I just want you to know.
We say this every week. No, they keep coming back.
We're gonna watch the number of subscribers. Yeah, what's wrong with you people? Doing.
Then we were followed by the FBI. our downloads went way up.
I think it was Carlos mentioning Timothy McVeigh. I think that's what did it.
I said Osama bin Laden before that.
Well, he's okay.
He's dead.
I don't mean he's okay. I was starting another sentence.
Well, he's okay, is what they heard.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so at MGM they show you this is how special effects work, and because Honey I Shrunk the Kids was relatively new, the whole thing was centered around that. And so they would take like two volunteers from the group, and they put you on like a giant bee with like in front of a green screen. Why is this funny? And then they would show
you what you're gonna do to them on that bee.
and then they show you how the compositing works, and they're yelling directions at you like, okay, now you slide off, and like, okay, now you reach for him, pull him back up. But because kids are shitty actors, like if you're, you know, it's like when they play it back for you with like the background in, it just looks like. get up here. It's like, oh, the suspense is killing me. All right, so I forgot that the kids got separated after this, like,
yeah,
bee thing. And it's sort of like what you were saying about Auntie, which is that it's not a huge deal for very long. We're going to find each other in the next scene. But if, in terms of splitting them up, I'm not sure this is how I would have paired them off. It was weird to see Amy with the younger brother from next door, and that like it almost there were better combinations of kids if you were going to have them.
See, I thought it was perfect.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I thought there were more. The other combinations would have been more cliched,
more obvious. Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
You stick with your own sibling, and then who cares?
Oh, or it's just
kids.
The romantic thing.
Or the two other ones, yeah. Just like F each other.
Yeah, and then like, do you want to find our siblings?
Well, no. And it does go
F each other out, which doesn't make sense.
F each other out. F each other I out. Am fucked out. Let me tell you. I see the way you're looking at me, but I am fucked out.
Long day at work. I'm sorry.
Yep, no more podcasts. Karen, I don't know. We're not doing it anymore, Mom. Man. I don't know. It just ended.
It just ended.
But I mean, no, that's what we are saying. In all seriousness, the older siblings would have just been making out the whole time.
Well, and this actually does, now that I'm thinking about it, it does help endear little Russ to Amy, the fact that he brought her brother back.
Oh, yeah, he takes care
of
her brother.
I guess that's pretty important. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Wayne realizes that the machine worked. And I love the way that they do this visually, where he's on the floor looking for them and then comes face to face with the broom. And then connects it like, oh, shit. Doesn't need a line of dialogue. Like, I love that.
And then they show him with the magnifying glass.
And then he's in the yard.
Like, okay, they're in the yard.
Yeah. And that's in the increasingly elaborate methods of how he's searching the yard. I have to say, the fucking crutches seem like a terrible idea.
That doesn't make sense.
That's the worst.
But the first time, as soon as he realizes they're on the yard, and he's like, I got to go back to the house. And he, like, steps in the yard. He's like, ah!
That's,
backs off.
Him crawling over the fence is hysterical. With the neighbors watching him is really funny.
That's good.
And then the dog's going crazy, and then I think he triggers the sprinkler while he's searching for them.
Yeah.
Okay. On the crutches.
Yeah, with the crutches.
Going on the hose.
And then so the kids have to go.
Is strong enough to turn the
Niedermeyer's.
I'm going with it. But so the kids, they have to run from that. And then at one point, Amy falls into some puddle of icky diarrhea snot.
It's pretty much what it is. I don't know what that was supposed
to
be.
So this is the scene.
This is what I know. This is the one where
I realized I loved Amy and that I had a wiener and it was all hers because, so when they pull her out and like, her shirt's wet. Okay. So a couple of things. First of all,
Karen, can we just get some tea after this?
The torso almost looks like it's nude because of the color of the, mud. So as a kid, there was a moment of, is her shirt gone?
Her shirt burned away.
And is that maybe a nipple I'm looking at through the shirt? It's very titillating for a Disney movie. So,
for any movie. It would be titillating.
Well, but specific, I mean, a nipple in a Disney movie is a pretty big deal. That would have been if I'd been in the marketing department, that's the poster. Honey, I shrunk the kids, but not them titties. I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. That happened, and I hate it.
Well,
okay, so. Anyway, so then we get the scene with the Foresters, the other family that is unnecessary.
Wait, can I tell you the time that I realized that I had feelings for that girl?
Yes.
I think we've passed it.
Okay.
When the younger brother from next door
Ron.
Is like, I'm dreaming. I'm just dreaming. You're like, you know, you're
my... Oh,
And she comes up real close to him. I was like, she's going to kiss that boy, which doesn't make any sense, but I can be that little boy in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then she like pinches his ear, which is a good
thing. If you were dreaming, exactly.
I was like, oh, hey.
Way to go, Amy.
Yeah,
and she's got kind of a deep voice for a girl, which is nice.
If we were dreaming, would I do this? It's like, yes.
Yes.
That's what he is living his wildest fantasies.
You're clearly not dreaming.
Yeah. Screw his ear off. Wait, literally, twist the ear.
Wait, just pull it. Not that
No,
way.
She, like, twisted it.
Yes, she went,
In a screw like motion is what happened.
Yeah.
I didn't mean she screwed his ear off.
We got it.
That's
Karen.
A weird phrase.
Karen.
She screwed his ear off. Pass me an orange.
How was your trip to the Bahamas? Oh, he screwed my ear off.
And now I am so fucked out.
Damn it, Bobby. I told you I didn't want you taking a drink from those ladies.
There is an awesome shot where. No, I'm leaving it.
Karen doesn't exist in the canon of this podcast.
Karen's going to come up every episode
she's
now.
Now part of it. Our fourth host.
She's going to do it like a little review for every episode.
But it was kind.
I thought I was God. I was like, Karen just became a lot more interesting. And I'm confused because when I do the voice, I'm talking to Karen. I don't really know who this woman, I don't have a name for this woman yet.
Janine.
But I feel, Janine's good. Yeah.
Janine's good.
Janine.
I was going to say Janet. Okay. So it works either way. This is the weirdest episode.
Bear with us as we hash this out, listeners.
This is the weirdest
episode. It's going to pay off.
This is the weirdest episode we've ever done. Okay. The weirdest.
That's a tall order. I don't know. The shot where as the kids leave the area just as Wayne passes over them. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Well done.
No, it's awesome, but it's a moment where you're like,
yeah, exactly. Like, oh, he just missed it. But
it's an American Tale moment. Like, Fievel and Papa. They're always just right around the corner from each other.
And I guess this is where they realize they're about halfway there, and then this is followed by the awesome oatmeal cookie scene.
I commend you for saying halfway there without saying Living on a Prayer. This is where they realize they were halfway there.
Living on a Prayer. And this is where we meet Auntie, who is also eating the cookie. I thought the scene of them trying to wrestle the ant was awesome. The way, like, they run up at it, and he just fucking headbutt them, and they go flying.
And it's a mechanical. It's definitely
a mechanical building, but that looked awesome.
I thought, when I saw the cookie, I was like, that thing would be swarming
with ants.
It wouldn't just be one baby ant. It'd be, like, a million ants.
They would have had their way with it already.
And also, how ratty are these people that they just leave food in the yard?
Well, if it's Nick always, like, being... secret.
He's not four. I mean, like, he's a kid. if you dropped a cookie like that, you'd you'd either throw it out or say 5 second rule. Like, you'd pick it up and eat it.
I mean, it's no definitely just there so that it's,
it's
an
just
awesome scene.
Just
so every little kid in the audience goes,
He takes all that cream, puts it on the cookie. I was that is a giant cookie sandwich.
Yeah.
So exciting. Right before this part, I had written, like, oh my God, Amy is such a wet blanket. Like, she's ruining all the fun.
Because
the boys are like, we're going to do something. We've got a plan. And she's like,
safety first.
Hey, come on. And I was like, I'm sure I identified with that because I myself have been a bit of a wet blanket at times in my life, but I was like, God, you're such a wet blanket. And then she figures out a way to not be so awful.
Accidentally.
Totally accidentally.
But still, hey,
she does
it's
have
something.
A good idea, thank God.
Yeah. And then Carlos is right. And like, there's like one scene of them getting, like, the police are called. Then the very next scene is them telling Auntie to go.
Yeah.
I know it's coming up. I knew at this point, like, we're getting so close to his big scene. And I found myself just wanting so hard an alternate version where Auntie gets blown up at the end too, and they just keep him in the garage.
That's huge.
That's funny that you wanted an alternate version of that scene, because I desperately found myself wanting the alternate version where Wayne just finds the kids immediately and doesn't sweep them up. It's like, just find them. They're right
Please
there.
Find them.
There had to be a better system of getting their attention and, like, directing them to a spot in the lawn to go to, and then just, like, keeping an eye on that spot rather than searching the whole lawn.
Had he just said, like, hey, kids, I know you're here.
Head for the stone in the center of the yard.
And had they left, like, written things down, like,
oh,
hey,
just make giant
in
messages
case you're looking
like
for
when
us.
You're on an island and you're trying to signal planes
exactly. What they should have done was light some grass on fire. That would have ended.
They're right by the fire. They can run away from it. If you don't have fast fire, only you can prevent forest fires.
It's grass. It's some grass.
It burns.
It does burn.
I'm gonna side with Carlos on this. I used to have a thing about lighting fires, and I burnt a lot of grass.
And a wet blanket on this.
They could have
put a wet blanket on it. Don't burn it.
They could have lit a fire, and then that could have easily been extinguished by the sprinkler. But
speaking of fire, the next thing that happens is the Big Russ pitching the cigarette into the yard, which is all, I've forgotten about this too, and this is cool. Like, the way them discovering it just looks so cool.
Yeah.
And then them making a torch out of it so they can see in the dark because it's starting to get dark. Then we get the scene where they find the Lego piece that they can spend the night in. And this is definitely where I wrote in my notes, uh-oh. Like, a repressed memory started to surface of, like, I think something terrible happens at this location.
Yeah.
And then,
I laid awake at nights pretending I was inside a Lego with that little Russ Thompson.
Yeah.
No. I was talking about the fact that Auntie's about to be murdered. And you're like,
she's talking about the,
boy.
Oh,
boy. I got some repressed memories, too.
Oh, no.
Something terrible is about to happen.
Maybe the younger kids can deal with that.
Well, I mean, they hint at it, though. Like, he's like, you think they're okay up there? You think they're warm enough up there or whatever? It's like, oh, they've got each other or something like that. Are you warm enough? Do you like to dance? I know you like to dance. Are you warm enough? I don't know why he would suddenly talk like that, but he does.
So then, the scorpion comes out. Where the fuck does a scorpion
come from? Yeah, that's
right. It's not like an escaped pet. It's just a scorpion.
That should have been established that it was an escaped pet, like the younger brother's escaped pet. But even then,
like, have you seen my scorpion? I don't know.
Somebody had to kill his pet scorpion, which is way darker than Auntie even.
Like, that's true.
Yeah.
And, such mixed feelings. I have two dogs in this fight. I don't know.
I'm torn. This one wants to eat me. How about the line when they're shooing Auntie away? He's like, my mom would never let me keep you as a pet. It's like, you're an aunt. Mom would not know that you have
a pet. She doesn't have to know,
yeah. She would think it was your imaginary friend.
She might kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually.
For real, yeah.
So I'm gonna be honest.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I skipped the part where Auntie died.
Oh,
I no. fast-forwarded. Oh. I'm going through some shit right now. I just couldn't handle it. I was like, just forget it. I'm skipping straight to when I know it's safe.
We should say, though, although you skipped it, this was some, like Harryhausen, like, fighting going on. Like, very, like, Clash of the Titans.
I'm going to take your word for it. Yeah. Are the torches involved in the scene? I do remember this.
With, like, sticks. Yeah. Okay. And then, what's the little brother? Russ's brother? Ron. Mm-hmm. Like, totally spears the scorpion in the eye, I'm guessing that is.
Yeah, something like that.
And, like a cyclops, he just, like, backs away and then runs away. It was like, it was totally something out of Clash of the Titans.
Huh.
It was.
The movie did remind me a lot of, like, 50s movies about, like, you know, you had a lot of movies about people getting very big, like Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. And then there was a lot of, like, the Atomic Scare, where there were movies about giant ants and insects. Like, there was a lot of that going on in here. So I'm sure that must have been intentional. Yeah. But, kid comes to mow the lawn. As they're running from that,
I love that they held this off just long enough that you kind of forgot about the kid and you're like, oh no,
shit. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's the scariest part for me, I think, that fucking lawnmower. I'm scared of lawnmowers anyway. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that, like, if you think to yourself, well, just stay low because it's not going to strip the lawn, but it's the wind, it's the suction that, like, from the fan, that's the tricky part.
Dangerous.
Yeah, that was really cool. I thought that it was also a very, very well done sequence. So, Wayne and I forgot the mom's name, but they realize what's going on. They go out and stop him. The kids hitch a ride on Quark, who brings them back into the house. And this is the scene where Nick falls into Wayne's bowl of Cheerios, which was in all the trailers. Dad almost eats him. So then they find the kids. They take them back up to the attic to bring them back to size. Mr. Thompson volunteers to test out the machine. I was telling Carlos this before you got here. I thought for sure there was going to be something more to... They establish he's slightly smaller when he comes back. Like, the hat's a little too big.
Yeah.
And I thought there was... This is so stupid. I don't know why I thought this. I thought little Russ was maybe going to come back a little bigger. And big Russ was going to be a little smaller. And they were going to be a little more even than me. And then it occurred to me then that, like, since little Russ's storyline... is about being too small, and then he's shrunk down to a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought maybe there might be more to that at the end too. But I'm actually kind of satisfied with just the way it is now. That it's like you were even smaller, and that's how you got to do all these amazing and brave and awesome things. Okay, so we already talked about the flaw with the ending about, like, returning to normal size, and that this is something that they for some reason can't do in the sequel. But then that's it. Yeah, giant turkey, giant dog bone. Everybody's back to normal. The callback to the French class joke about he learned to resuscitate. He learned CPR from French class as a joke on French kissing. Whatever. That was such a weird way to end the movie. Like, the credit, it straight up fades to black, and then hold on, and then it comes back
in. I get it.
Yeah.
French class.
Oh, weird. That's so strange.
Yikes. I didn't understand at the end of the movie. I had never heard of playing footsie before.
Oh.
And Amy and Russ are playing footsie. And I remember asking my mom, like, but why would you do that?
Your mom's like, you wouldn't ever, so don't.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's what she told me.
Well, actually, shut up, Karen. You would never do that. I saw this scene and was like, yeah, footsie must be real comfortable with a sneaker on your leg. That's got to feel real great.
I don't know.
She's all hot and bothered from that giant Reebok on her.
Although, I don't know. If you're a teenager, I think any sort of, like...
I think that's true. I mean, any kind of...
He had a boner, really, for sure.
Like,
yeah,
else.
She had a lady
but
boner.
She had a lady boner.
I didn't know that.
Final thoughts on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Donna.
What a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
What a good movie. It totally holds up. Please watch it again. Give it to your next generation. This is a real keeper. I mean, it's the stakes are completely high, right where they should be. The characters and their relationships are outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it again and again. Again and again. The first one, not
the first
second
one. Yeah,
or
yeah.
Third.
The other ones don't exist.
No, just watch
I don't know
one.
That the second one's bad enough that it doesn't exist, but it's definitely not as good as it not as even close to being as good as the first one. I hate that what was I doing with my life that I kept going back to the second one?
Don't they not even live in the same house?
They're in a new neighborhood.
They live in Las Vegas. Yeah,
I think they're still in California, but then the baby winds up in Vegas.
I'd say they definitely get to Las Vegas.
Or maybe they are in Vegas.
I believe they live in Vegas, which doesn't make sense.
It's weird.
Okay.
It's weird.
Unless he's working at Area 51, which is possible.
Maybe
that's a line in the movie. We'll have to watch it next week.
Yeah, I remember big testing facility.
Uncle Janusz, don't they call the baby? He's like their big uncle.
Janusz?
Probably not Janusz.
Ghostbusters 2?
What if it is?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
And so, Carlos.
Watch it.
It's. I did not expect this movie to hold up.
Yeah.
I expected it to be... to have to defend how I felt as a kid and be like, okay, but as a kid it works.
Right.
Yeah. No, this is good. This is a good movie. I showed it to my 3-year-old who watched it for the first time. She was enthralled. She kept saying, they're tiny. it kept reinforcing every time she saw something that was supposed to be small. She's like, they're tiny. And then when the aunt died, she said, it died. It's like, you understand. It goes to sleep. It's like, okay. Man. I was like, what?
While you were paying attention, she quickly learned about life and death.
She figured out mortality.
And so okay with it.
She's totally. Well, she doesn't apply it to herself, clearly.
Sure.
Other things die. I live forever. This holds up surprisingly fantastically.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I agree. I loved it. This is right up there with, to me this felt a lot like when we watched Short Circuit 2, which is just I had no expectations for this, and I had a great time with it. I've had, a shitty week and a half. I needed this, so it's exactly what I needed. I think I kind of shit on Joe Johnston as a director a little bit at the beginning, but I will say that one thing I think he's very consistent with is he uses special effects appropriately. They don't take center stage. They're very often they're in service of the story, and it's never about how impressive the effects are. The moments that you go oh my God, that's amazing. It's because it's from a character's point of view thinking oh my God, this is amazing. They're never the star of the show. And I think he's always been really good about that. Watch it. This is really good. It's much better than I remembered. And I kind of wish I had watched it more as a kid. Karen, what time is it?
It's time to play Who Would You Be and Who Would You F?
Maybe we should start with Donna, because I feel like this is a no-brainer.
Go ahead and do that.
I mean, you'd obviously F Little Russ. I said you would be Amy, just because she's... Mm. But then that was before the whole wet blanket thing, so hold on. I just thought because she was, definitely the one in charge. And then you got to be one of the kids, because they're the one that's having all the fun. I'm going to change my answer. Am I? Wait.
Have you seen Russ now? Let me just... Because that's him. That's Russ.
He's...
Now. Okay. You got that picture so that you could defend being into a teenage boy. Yeah,
but I was younger than he is. I'm still younger than
that's fair.
He is, but,
But that, you problem child it.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
And professional.
I'm going to stand by
it. We both did that for the professional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't judge. Okay, so definitely effing Little Russ.
No, you can't.
Who did you say she'd be?
I didn't say she'd be.
No, I'm asking now.
Oh. I haven't said anything.
I'm wondering who he said.
Yeah. I thought you would actually be Mrs. Zielinski.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's no nonsense, except for that time she cuts the rope and allows the possibility that her husband just destroyed her children.
Child murder. Not even just their children.
The children next door.
Fuck the neighbors, too. Yeah. Oh, man. All right, I'm going to say you're going to be Nick. Okay.
Well, I would definitely F Russ, deep down. I would be actually Wayne Zielinski.
Oh, damn it.
So cool. I love Rick Moranis.
Okay.
He's real smart.
Okay. He's real smart.
So, who would Carlos be? Who would Carlos F? I thought Carlos... I wrote Carlos would be Wayne, and now I don't know why I wrote that. would be Wayne and F. Amy, but not at the same time, is what I wrote.
Well,
yeah, that makes sense.
Sure. I think that's understood. There really are no combination of characters other than, like...
I don't know. Donna, I feel like I have to point it out because of the one time Donna said she would be the Bowtie Killer, or she would be Gilbert Gottfried and F the Bowtie Killer. And then she made a point of saying...
As Gilbert Gottfried.
And then she even said what it would sound... That it didn't make it into the episode, but she even... Let us know what it would sound like, which I believe was just, ah! that was the noise.
That's about right.
So that's what it sounds like. Yeah, sometimes, I mean, you can do whatever you want. These rules are pretty interesting, but please keep it.
Yeah. Not come on, Carlos.
Come on. Come on, Carlos. Just, you know.
I don't play by your rules.
Come on now.
So who did you say?
I said that Carlos would be Ron. Whose name he can't remember, so I'm feeling a little bad.
I'm bad at names, don't worry.
But he is real funny, and he's a go-getter, and he's got, like, all the candy tools that they need. He's got a pocket knife to get them out of the bag, saves the day. He's very clever, and a bit contrary, which I know I've pointed out.
I am just not a contrarian.
I mean, just a touch. Anyway, and then you
I'm just saying Maya Angelou, meh, all right? Meh.
You disagree with being a... I think you're like, he's a contrarian. Well, I'm not.
Right? He's contrary as fuck.
My brother doesn't
really... That should be a t-shirt.
It's like, my brother doesn't really like, no, he doesn't have the words to explain that idea. He's just like, I just feel like sometimes you just say things that are against what other people say. Just so you can hear what other people say to you. Yeah. I was like, sometimes that's true.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's not.
Contrary as fuck.
I mean.
And Amy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So who would you be?
I would be Nick.
Nick.
I would be Nick. Ah,
man.
Yeah, you were close.
I mean, they're both the younger brother.
They were both the younger brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why? You would have Amy?
Cork. No, Amy.
Cork.
Why not? Cork. Let's throw bestiality in this episode.
We've done it before.
Karen.
I would have that
I saw
Karen.
This on the internet, and I want to try it.
I would have that Karen. She sounds like a real looker. She sounds like a looker? She does.
He can be betrayed by that easily,
buddy.
She sounds
like a real
watch
sounder.
Out for that.
Okay, who would I be? Who would I F?
You would be.
She said Nick.
You would be.
What was the name of the stupid wife?
Stupid
Gloria?
Wife.
Is it Gloria? The one who's like from the fishing trip?
Oh, yeah. The girl.
Oh.
You'd be Gloria.
Yes, I'm flying in your neighbor's yard.
Yeah. Right, Gloria. The look he gives him is like, my wife's clearly retarded.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know how that goes. What? No, I don't know how that goes. What's it like to have a wife that thinks that men can fly? I don't understand, sir.
I saw a man flying in the yard.
Okay.
Karen.
You get, you understand. Are we going fishing or not? I want to touch you.
I am all fucked out.
She's crazy, but I screw her ear off. Okay, now you want to be Lil Russ.
Okay. And I want to...
F. Amy.
Okay.
I said you wanted to be Nick.
Okay.
And F. Amy, but not at the same time.
Well, I was that. You didn't make that differentiation for me.
Because you would.
I said Nick and Amy, but not at the same time.
We know you're the incest guy now.
But you...
God, my ass just keeps catching up with me.
Oh, run, but you can't hide. The Ravens are always going to be there.
That's the way love goes. Okay, so Donna is half right. I would be Nick. And I and look, I was very into Amy as a kid.
This is a curveball.
K.
Who's K?
The neighbor's wife.
Mrs. Thompson. Yeah. I would F Mrs. Thompson.
Yeah, she's cute, right?
F yeah. Buffy's mom. She, yeah. I thought she looked really cute in this movie.
She was a great, you know, all those fruits and vegetables. She was really taking care of that.
All right, guys, that's it for us. If you're a fan of the show, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher if you haven't already. Like our Facebook page to find out what we're looking at next and to share your own memories of these films. Let us know if you have suggestions for other titles we should revisit, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.